Good morning, everybody. I'm not Stuart. Ray Stuart is a colleague, and I, similar to our previous colleague, discovered that I would be presenting on this last week, Thursday. So I actually, even as I sat here attempting to listen to some of the great presentations, was reviewing the presentation that, so I wanted to open by saying that I'm Melissa Heintz and that my colleagues Ray Stuart, Dr. Alfredo Vigil, and Dr. Sanjeev Arora, and I think their credentials follow, could not be here. But I also wanted to present a couple of caveats myself, which is that I attempted to revise the presentation in a way that would be a little bit easier for me to present on, and but then didn't find the room in time to load that presentation. So I'm going to go with the original presentation. And also, the lines were so long that I didn't get any of my tea this morning. So I'm talking to you totally fresh, having had a run, but no caffeine. So forgive me. It probably will help to be a good counter to the nerves that I might have in presenting. The New Mexico, so I'm not, it will. But I, down here I get to see it. I'm so sorry. Okay, so as I click, it's not moving. Is it?
Or you could just go this way.
Okay.
There.
Neither Ray nor I have any financial relationships to disclose. I would like to just advise folks that while the authors on this were based at the University of New Mexico School of Medicine primarily, my position with the Department of Health and Ray Stuart with the Department of Health, and so if there's any shift in how I'm going to present on the following slides, it's because I'm speaking from a position as a hepatitis prevention program manager and not as a co-PI from a clinical background at the School of Medicine. Project ECHO, the mission to develop the capacity to safely and effectively treat chronic, common, and complex diseases in rural and underserved areas and to monitor outcomes on those diseases. Project ECHO is a telehealth medicine project where a team of experts in highly specialized medicine live in Albuquerque and come to a conference room and provide expertise and advice to rural primary care providers in the treatment of hepatitis C. It's been a very important model for us in New Mexico insofar as the next slide will show. I'm sorry, next slide won't show quite yet. Similar to the stats that the colleague presented on Arkansas, New Mexico is a very much a rural state and is has a significant percentage of underserved communities. And the drive to Albuquerque, which is what's posed prior to ECHO, to see any level of specialist care in the case of gastroenterology or many other areas of care. The drive to Albuquerque is an extremely limiting and difficult thing for rural populations to have to do. And in the final analysis, especially when it comes to hepatitis C, folks would just not pursue disease management or treatment. So Project ECHO was meant to address that and has addressed it in a pretty remarkable way since 2005 with state general funds as well as federal funding. The partners in Project ECHO, the University of New Mexico School of Medicine, Corrections, myself with the New Mexico Department of Health, Indian Health Service and community providers, primarily FQHCs in rural communities throughout New Mexico. Uh, some of the descriptions about New Mexico. I might need to be reminded of my timing, by the way, and if you could, Gail. So these are some statistics about to New Mexico to describe to you that, you know, the percentage of lack of health insurance, at least at 23%, and 32 of our 33 counties as a listed as medically underserved areas. And so these are the methods of the telehealth model, the use of technology, telemedicine and internet. Physicians log on to twice weekly clinics and present cases from their caseload relative to, I'll speak specifically around hepatitis C. The physicians also receive training from ECHO. The physicians also receive a grant from ECHO, a subcontracted grant. So the FQHCs could not absorb and engage in hepatitis C treatment without some support to do so, you know, more than just goodwill and training of their providers. The disease management model focuses on improved outcomes by reducing variation in processes of care and sharing of best practices, case-based learning for the providers who are engaged, and a centralized database to monitor outcomes. So as they're presented, the steps here are the training of medical service providers. Forgive me. I think I did find that button finally. In hepatitis C, the telemedicine clinics that I described, and what Dr. Arora refers to as learning loops. And that is the engagement with primary care providers in a process of, in an exchange with specialists and learning through the case management of specific patients. So that the specialists are gaining knowledge of how this disease can play out in myriad ways in rural communities, and the rural providers are increasing their level of knowledge, training, and acuity in dealing with a chronic disease that they might not otherwise be able to treat on site. This is just a shot of the telemedicine clinic in Albuquerque. I think that's the back of Dr. Sanjeev Arora there in the foreground. The state has supported ECHO for numbers in New Mexico with our budget as it is at a pretty significant rate. There's actually an inaccuracy here. The initial allocation from state general funds to the collaboration that was ECHO, Corrections, and the Department of Health was $1.2 million in 2005. In 2005, $1.4 million in 2006 and 2007, and we are we're going into the fifth year funding cycle at $1.6 million, which is a significant commitment on the part of our state to support a telehealth model with the hope that, as you'll see on an expansion slide later, that we are addressing what is a significantly crumbling structure of rural healthcare provision through the FQHCs by allowing folks who are living with chronic disease in rural communities to have access through their primary care provider to such diseases. ECHO was also a recipient of the 2007 Global Changemaker Award through RWJ. ECHO works with the drug companies and the labs to get discounted labs and free drugs from GlaxoSmithKline and I think Roche. So what they have been able to garner in return for a state funding, say, of 1.4 million or 1.6, is a significant in-kind transfer for reduced lab fees and reduced drug fees. You know, I think that what this presentation is missing or is assuming is that folks in the audience have some working knowledge on what it takes to treat hepatitis C. I'm not convinced that that is the case necessarily, but I want to say that this is an extremely expensive and difficult chronic disease to treat, and is a very difficult treatment process to go through for the patient. And so the fact that $1 million a year, thank you, in drugs and labs alone, I think points up the significant challenges to rural states to actually engage in and provide access to care for persons living with hepatitis C. In the case of New Mexico, the hepatitis C epidemic is primarily based in the injection drug using community. The epidemic is this way nationally, but New Mexico does have, among its many credentials, one of the highest prevalence of injection drug users in its population. So we have a high injection drug use activity, and we have subsequently a very high rate of hepatitis C. In New Mexico, we estimate 28,000 to 32,000 persons living with hepatitis C. This is a slide that gets to sort of a brief look at what hepatitis C might, what it turns into in terms of clinical illness. That it's actually 4.2 million persons. Anyway, chronically infected with hepatitis C, over a period of time of 10 to 15 years, 20% will develop cirrhosis, and at another 10 to 15 years, 4% will develop cancer from the chronic disease. One of the issues in New Mexico beyond the 28 to 32% of our population, 28 to 32,000 of our population approximately a 2 or 3% prevalence living with hepatitis C in New Mexico. We also have a very high rate, as many jurisdictions do, of persons living with hepatitis C in our state prisons. The latest data, the state prisons in New Mexico implemented universal hepatitis C screening 4 months ago, and the data is very clear that we have approximately 40% positivity rate in the 6,000 prisoners in our state. We do also have New Mexico has the highest rate of deaths from chronic liver disease and cirrhosis in the nation. So very fast forward, the good news that if we can identify and keep people in a 3, 6, or 9 month treatment course with the antiviral drugs, which are really intense. Anybody who knows HIV drugs will have a sense of what HCV drugs are like. So while we may have, hepatitis C can be curable in 45 to 81% of the cases, I would emphasize that it's much closer to 50% in New Mexico. Very rarely do we get a percentage rate as high as 81%. There are severe side effects and anemia, depression, etc. And I would just like to suggest that that's a particularly problematic in a relatively disenfranchised and underserved population, poor population, and in the case of New Mexico, in 80% of the cases, they are opiate addicted. ECHO has expanded in the last year to address other chronic diseases, to expand what it offers to rural primary care providers so that folks can gain treatment through their local FQHC. There has been a tremendous expansion of expertise among our rural providers relative to hepatitis C and other chronic conditions. And perhaps the greatest benefit that was not included, I'm sorry to say, on this slide, is the expansion of rural primary care physicians who are now certified to prescribe Suboxone, buprenorphine. It's an opiate replacement therapy so that folks who are living with hepatitis C and opiate addiction can stabilize without methadone. It's an alternative drug, and we can talk about that more, but over 80 physicians through ECHO support have been trained and received free Suboxone, which is huge news for anybody who deals with heroin addiction. There have been significant challenges with ECHO in terms of getting people in the door, staying in the door, coming to the clinic when they're dealing with poverty and homelessness and heroin addiction. And so the other huge challenge has been working with what I described earlier briefly without any slide to support it, a crumbling financial structure for the FQHC. So where the FQHCs are is they need everybody who comes in the door has to provide, there has to be some income source for the clinic. And the bottom line is hepatitis C, folks living with hepatitis C and uninsured are not high reimbursers in the federal structure. And so we've had to, it's been very difficult to keep FQHCs on board providing chronic hepatitis C treatment. The expansion to the other diseases has assisted in keeping them on board. I think I'll stop. There are other slides to present, but I think that I've given the basic overview and look forward to having some discussion with colleagues. Thank you.